What up, you Hammer Niggas? It's your boy, Yonkwe Zaza, here today with another episode of The Greatest Show, Post Game Narratives. Coming to you guys on this lovely Saturday, supposedly spring night, but it's been nothing but rain and wind and cold. So, you know, we're going to have a show that's going to warm up, you know, especially when we got our pepper takes coming up later on in the show. Just wanted to say, hope everyone had a good week. I did. I'm on spring break from the kids. Parents, that's your problem for the next 8 days. Listen, I wish nothing but those kids being headaches to you guys, as they were for us for the last 2 weeks, knowing that their spring break was coming up. Just, you know, gonna relax. Might go to Philly, you know, with WrestleMania and them coming up. Might go down there, see how that town is shaping up for possibly the biggest WrestleMania in a while. So, you know, your boy's going to be on the move. You might see PGN all over the place in the next couple of months. Trust me, we making big moves for you guys. As you see, we got the camera. We about to get a headlight. We got people, some people who donated some stuff, you know, so PGN is always on the move, and we're always on the rise. And speaking of the rise, we're going into our first topic today. Listen, John Calipari has lost again. Okay, listen, if he doesn't have Anthony Davis back in that 2012, he doesn't have a championship. Like, he should be gone now. We can't keep, he might do this. Nah, his record is terrible. We can't do this. Like, because I see so many coaches get fired for less. Like, okay, he made the tournament, but he lost in the first round against Oakland. Bro, what? I'm sorry, like, he might be a good man, but I think sometimes your tenure with a team has run out. And I think we all have to kind of move on. And it's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with moving on. Maybe his voice is not heard with the players anymore, because he could have honestly gotten better out of his team than what he got. Because Oakland's now a darling. Because of fucking John Calipari. John, you can't keep losing these games. And the thing is, he always gets the best talent. And he still comes up short. I remember, even back in the day, he'd have Eric Bledsoe was on his team, right? He'd have all these great players. And he would lose. Like, besides that magic run with Anthony Davis, that man's not doing the best job right now. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with, okay, let me go somewhere else. Let me go figure it out. Because I hate saying it. If he was black, he'd be gone. And we all know this already. Oh, he had Towns and Booker. And he lost in the Final Four to Wisconsin. I remember that. He lost to Wisconsin. Oh, when he had the dude with the hair. I forget his name. Well, like, he didn't even. Did he make the NBA? The dude from Wisconsin? He made the NBA, but he was not a. You can't lose to those type of people. And those are the teams Calipari loses to all the time. He either makes a 16 or he'll make the Final Four. They're like, oh, this is his year. And then he'll lose. And then we make excuses for him. We do this. But we shouldn't make excuses for him. He lost. He needs to be held accountable. He needs to sit there and be like, yo, I lost. And it's my fault. But he gets away with murder. He's getting away with a lot of the stuff that other coaches don't get away with because he's a name. And being a name alone is not enough to keep you in these jobs. So, Calipari, I think you're a really good guy. I think you've done a lot, but I think you do need to move on. And there's nothing wrong with a fresh start. Yo, they're 1-4 in their past 4-5 NCAA tournaments. That record speaks for itself. Because I've seen so many good coaches who done less than him get fired with a shorter lease. He's been there too long. They gave him this lifelong contract. He has not panned out, and it's not worked out for him. If you have to buy him out, and let's move on. Because, listen, Kentucky is still a good school for basketball, but he is not the coach anymore. And I think they need to, honestly, just move on. That's nothing wrong with it. You did your time. You got the one national championship. Let's move on. I always say holding on sometimes does worse than letting go and finding a fresh start, because I think it could be better for both people. Calipari, Kentucky. They get a young coach in there. They get someone else in there. They can probably win. But whatever his formula, it's not working with this team. And I think when you get stubborn and you get stuck, you become rigid. And rigidness is what gets a lot of people lost. And in life, listen, never be rigid. Always be willing to change. And like, I think that's something that's for everyone. I tell my kids this when I'm like, yo, don't be rigid. Don't be open to not getting advice. Don't be open to like moving away from something. Like, yeah, you always wanted to be here, but your time is done. Your record shows itself. It's okay to move on. You'll be okay. John Calipari, even if he doesn't get hired right away, he's going to be on ESPN. He's going to be on all these talk shows talking about college basketball anyway. There's always a future for you. I don't get why you're hanging on to this Kentucky thing. It's clearly not working. It hasn't clearly worked in the last 5 years. So let's move on. And let's move on to an interesting thing. Otani, an interpreter, a gambling scandal. Listen, you can't tell me that these players aren't betting on these things, their games. I refuse to admit this. And there's been some pictures going around Otani where you can tell. I know, first of all, I put parlays in. I know the face of a dude who has a parlay and he needs that two last leg to hit. I know that face. Guys, when you play, you bet enough. You know the face of a person who is gambling. And you know the face of a person who is putting in parlays. And that parlay ain't fucking hitting. You waiting for that shit to fucking hit. So, I just feel bad that, you know, baseball always tries to look like, oh, like this stuff doesn't happen. I'm like, yeah, it does. It happens in every league. And you guys need to... I think he does need to be confronted, but firing his interpreter was not the way to do it when you know Otani's the one doing it. I get it. He's your superstar, and you don't want to challenge him. You want to protect him, but you need to call him out. These players, especially a young player like him, he can get caught up in this really bad, and he could probably do damage to your league. You probably need to address this right away. If he's gambling a little bit, that's cool, but it seems like he's way in. And if you don't stop this now, he's going to get involved and there's going to be no stopping this. And then now your league has lost its credibility, which, I mean, it is what it is. But I'm just telling you, when you do this gambling thing, it is a drug. And trust me, a lot of people get lost in it. I've seen, and especially when you think you have money to do, so you're just doing anything. And there's no cap. They're not going to stop him. FanDuel's not going to stop him. DraftKings is going to stop him. He's putting in money in. Yeah, go fucking right ahead. They're not going to stop you. The league literally needs to come on this. Hey, yo, bro, what you doing? What's going on? Because if you don't, you'll allow him to keep doing this, and he's going to blow money. And he's going to blow money, and he's just going to keep going. And he's too young for all this. Like, listen, I get it. For me, I bet every maybe two times a week. But when you have the money that man has, you might bet two times a day at minimum. And I'm giving him a fair share that it's maybe two times a day. When you have that type of money, you think every bet's going to hit. And you get that little hot feel and get that little hot hand. And, yo, you ready to go. Listen, I hope he gets the help that he needs. I hope the league really looks in on this, and I hope they find a solution for this. But if they don't, they're gonna have a problem. And that young man, listen, the money that he's gonna make in his career, he can blow all that shit just by doing some dumb shit, and listen, it takes something small like that, it adds up. Everything adds up in life, guys. Everything adds up. It may not look like it's a big thing, but it turns into one if you don't get the right help that's needed for this. But speaking of moving on, the NFL is trying to get rid of the hit drop tax. Listen, I get it. I've never liked the hit because sometimes it takes out a player. But the game's so fast that there's nothing else you can do but tackle like that. Listen, I've never liked the tackle. I've never hit someone like that. I play as a former athlete. I've never hit drop tackle. I just don't think it's a safe play because now that person can probably, their ankle's probably done now. They're not playing for a significant time. But see, this is what happens when, I always say, you're not teaching tackling. And this is when people lack fundamentals. They do some dumb shit like that. They do the hip drop. Now, it's because you're not tackling. Tackling is literally consistency and form. If you are not consistently tackling, this is what happens. You become lazy, and then you try to upchuck by doing some nonsense. Now that other player's hurt. Listen, a lot of players will tell you, I'm okay, but you going high. Do not go for my legs because your legs are the only way you can play. I've seen so many times where players get hurt like that. They get a hit check. Now, ankle's done. They're out. They're out for rest season or they're out for 6 weeks. The NFL needed to do something like this, but I'm like, the game's too fast. I don't know how you stop this. It's the same thing with the unnecessary. There's nothing you can do. These are demons. These are people who are literally moving trucks going at fast speed. You can't tell them, oh, yo, you have to do. They're not thinking about that. When you're in that game, you're not thinking about, yo, I can't do this. Yo, this is not, yo, when you have to make a tackle, you're going to make that tackle. If you have to stop that play, you're going to stop that play. So now all you've added is another way for players to get fined. And I don't really get this. I'm like, I get it. I understand what they're trying to do, but it's not really needed. You're doing a little too much. There's a little too much. They're trying to health check the game, but the game is already dangerous. We know this already. You taking this out isn't going to stop because if a defender gets beat and that's the only tackle he can make, best believe, guys, he's going to make that tackle. Because you'd rather make that tackle and get the fine than let the other team score the touchdown. Trust me, as a football player, your coach will tell you, listen, I'd rather you get the penalty than let them score. And that's a lot of defensive minds. That's a lot of defensive coaches. Mini league, high school, college, pros. They'd rather you get that penalty than let you score. So all you've done is just added unnecessary penalties. That's it. So NFL, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to make it seem like this is a safe league, but this isn't a safe league. These players knew stepping onto that field, anything can happen. And you just putting out more ways for them to get fined and flagged. Bro, I don't know what you expect. The game is played at a fast speed. Whatever happens is gonna happen. You just have to find a way to go around it. And speaking, we're moving on. WrestleMania 40, as I stated, is 2 weeks away. This is probably one of the better builds to Mania I've seen in a while. And I love the fact that we don't know what's going to happen with every match. And to me, that's the best feeling. It makes me feel like a kid again, where I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to lose. Is Seth going to turn on Rock? Is Seth going to turn on Cody? Is Cody not going to win? This is the type of feeling wrestling fans have been dying for a long time because people don't understand. There were some dark WrestleManias. Ask my producer. Ask those WrestleMania 28s and 27s and 32. Those were some bad ones, man. Like as a wrestling fan, we were getting through it, but not by much. So this type of buzz and energy that I've seen around wrestling fans, to me, is one of the best things they could have because now it's forced everyone to become to become like, I don't want to be shocked. I don't want to, I'm not listening to no insider. I'm not listening to nobody. I'm literally going to go and just enjoy the fucking show. And I think that's the most, that's the beautiful part about wrestling. Wrestling should be fun. Wrestling should be like, yo, I wake up. Yo, what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw? I don't know what's going to happen, but you know who we are? We're going to have a banger match. So when stuff like that happens, because now you got, you're selling out shows. They were selling out multiple TV taped events. That hasn't happened in a while. Yo, you got Rock. He's cutting some of the best promos of his life. Listen, I'm loving what WWE is doing. I love the fact that now they're at the point where they're selling. Yo, it's hot. There's a buzz. I've never seen this many people, even outside of wrestling, who be like, I've done shows where people are like, yo, that wrestling thing, that look on fire. I saw some shit. I'm like, yeah, tune in. WrestleMania coming up. That's how you gain new fans. I hate saying Tony Khan. This is how you gain new fans. You gotta have the buzz. Yo, the women look good. The women are wrestling. They out there. Yo, Bianca not helping Bayley because Bayley done fucked her over for 2 years. And Bianca's like, nah, I'm not going out there with you. I'm not going out to help you. You just mad that they chained on you. You did this to me for 2 years. I ain't help you. That's what compelling story is. Drew McIntyre being the savior of WrestleMania, saying like, yo, Seth, you ain't focused right now. You too focused in on The Rock. Your attention... Yo, this is the way you build it up. The Rock, Cody shit, it don't need to build itself up. It is looking great. I like, every show they go to, they sold out. They have to open up new sections just to get moving because there's a buzz there. They haven't been this type of buzz in a minute. And I'm loving the fact that, yo, everyone else is happy with it. Everyone is like, talking. Everyone's like, yo, wrestling's... Oh, no, I gotta watch it. This is what we're here for. And now you are okay to be a wrestling fan. Yo, what's Rock gonna do after WrestleMania? Yo, is Roman gonna lose? If Roman loses, is he gonna try and run it back at SummerSlam? You have so many future storylines that they're building up that I don't think they really did back in the day. And now those WrestleMania 28s and 29s, because listen, those were a drag. And listen, I love what Triple H is doing. And I feel like he and this the TKO era, I feel like they understand what is needed to be done. Even the camera, the production's getting better. You see the camera is following Sami Zayn into the back. They didn't do that before. Listen, when you get stuck in your ways, like Kevin Dunn was, you're unable to move on. Now the product looks so much better. I don't have people who are AV, they're like, that's peak quality, right? That's what you should be doing. And this is what I love about Triple H. He has a circle around him who are going to tell him what he needs and what he needs to do, how to make the product better. That's what you do. That's how you run this business. And you allow your people to breathe. All these wrestlers feel like they're rejuvenated again. Even if they're not at the top of the card, whatever they're doing, whatever story they're in, they're making it the best story that it can be. And that's what you need to do. Listen, it's okay to watch wrestling. Wrestling is fun. And this is the best time. It's Mania season, people. If you want to join, join. I promise you. You will not get made fun of. It's okay. But, so, you know, we will be talking about, we'll be giving our WrestleMania 40 predictions in the next 2 weeks, you know, just to, you know, battle back. So, you guys can drop your, who do you think is going to win? Moving on, some NFL news. Mike Williams to the Jets and Snead got traded to the Titans. Listen, I don't know what the Chargers are doing. I think it's a total rebuild, and that's okay. But my only problem is, why the fuck didn't the Patriots go after any of these goddamn players? Okay. Taking my team out of this. All I'm saying is the Chargers seem to be giving up their receivers for nothing. You could have gotten Keenan Allen. You could have gotten someone. But that's a big move for the Jets, and I think the Jets are trying to come back from that awful, disastrous season that they had last year. So Aaron Rodgers is probably like, hey, we got to do this. Let's make some moves. You still have Garrett Wilson. Now you have Mike Williams. The Jets are... I'm not talking about the Jets anymore. Listen, they made a good move. I'm not happy for them. I wish the Patriots would have made this move, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I don't wish anything good for the Jets. I hope they still suck somehow, some way. But the bigger news is Snead got traded to the Titans. But we all kind of knew this because they already paid, what did they pay? Houston, right? Houston, give me. Chris Jones. They paid Chris Jones. Once you pay Chris Jones, you can't play another defensive player that type of money. So that's a big loss for the Chiefs because, honestly, he was their primary lockdown cornerback. So for him to be gone, I don't know how they replace him. Like, yeah, they'll still be the Chiefs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Chiefs. But I'm saying when it comes to shutting down the receivers, that's a big loss. And the Titans continue to steal fucking players out of nowhere. I don't get it. But for the Chiefs, this is probably their best defense, and Snead was part of that, and Chris Jones was part of that too. But you also have to understand, Snead stopped a lot of touchdown passes in that Super Bowl, and I don't think you replace that. No matter what you think, that's a hard position to play. Cornerback, listen, you ain't got a good cornerback. Look at the Eagles. You ain't got nothing, and now you're going to be playing really, really spotty basketball without a good cornerback. But, you know, I believe Andy Reid will figure it out. I think they'll know what they can do. They still have a really solid defense. Steve Spagnuolo is probably going to put some packages together when it comes to facing the better wide receivers because, you know, they're going to have to face Jamar Chases of the world. But, like I said, it's a bad loss. We'll see what they do about it, but I think they should be good. But it is what it is. Moving on, LeBron and JJ Redick open up a podcast. And listen, LeBron James is one of the greatest minds in basketball, and I will want to see what him and JJ have to talk about. And I think that's what's going to make that show interesting, is really seeing LeBron's mind on how the game works. Because, listen, we get all these old players who were like the Gilberts, and you got Paul Pierce having a podcast, and that's great. But now we have like one of the greatest players talking basketball, like with another solid player. So now he can ask LeBron, what do you do? Like, what's your mindset? How do you think? Like, that's the type of stuff I want to hear. And that's what I'm really looking forward to hear from LeBron and JJ, because, you know, JJ isn't as bad. Sometimes he gets a little too much for me. I get it. He played in the different eras, and he's always trying to downplay, like, old past eras. But I think with LeBron there, you have a new mind. So now you can take it from the top of the top, and you can say, like, LeBron, when you were going through this game 6 against the Celtics, what was going on in your mind? What was the play? What did you see? Because so many players say, like, sometimes LeBron's so good, he's calling out plays. That's what great is. People don't understand what being great is. Being great is not just being great at what you, it's being great at everything. Like, yo, you saw this. Yo, you're calling out the plays. Yo, you're doing this. Because Norman Powell has honestly opened up that, even though people say no one fears LeBron, but Norman Powell, Paul George have opened up like, yo, you guys are not giving him enough credit. Because Norman Powell is literally saying, he says on his podcast, LeBron knew all their plays and he knew what the fuck they were doing. And this is why I always say, just because he's not Jordan does not mean he does not terrorize people in his own way. guys have got to understand there are different ways to terrorize a team. And LeBron just does it. He just does it in a quieter way, but he's still terrorizing the team. Ask the Raptors. ask a lot of teams. Ask the Pacers. Listen, when you're great, you hold a lot of people back from winning. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that podcast. I want to really listen in on it. And, you know, so I'll be there for that, and we'll review it. But we always go on to our best part of the day, where we do pepper takes. Spiciest subjects that happened this week, we're going to talk about. And starting off with a really, really good one. That Quiet on Set, that Nickelodeon documentary. My God. Listen, the fact that Dan Schneider was able to go on a TV show. He was able to go on TV and literally say, I apologize for asking people for massages. To me, is what the problem is. We allow some of these people who are higher up to get the benefit of the doubt. And so we give them a platform. This man has ruined so many people's lives. And the fact that you guys are willing to give him a platform, to me, is vile and hurtful to the people he hurt. You had the Brian Pecks. These people were allowed to work again. Drake Bell's life is never going to be the same. Like, he literally broke up with it. He literally had a falling out with his father because of this. And this man took advantage of this. And then you have some other parents who are like, oh, don't blame Dan Schneider, blame the parents. When you do that, you take power away from the victims and you're pretty much victim blaming. Whereas you should be like, Dan Schneider and these people were the problem. They're monsters. You literally, like, if you see Amanda Bynes right now, she's not in a good spot. That's because all that shit that happened back in the day. Guys, these were young kids being being violated because these powerful people could get them to where they wanted to be. But they had to let go of their innocence and be abused by these older men who should not have been around these people. Listen, as a person who works with kids, don't know what I would do if I heard, hey, yeah, this guy was like forcing himself on me. Like, you're massaging, you're wanting these young kids to massage you. You're in the room alone with Amanda Bynes, bro. That should never happen. Like, we always say, even back in my YNC, you're never alone with kids. You always have the rule of three. Why were you guys allowing? Oh, because once again, he's a powerful man. He can get you where you needed to be. And some of the stuff he used to do on TV, I was like, yo, these are kids, and he's having like sex jokes and cum shots. I was like, bro, what is this? And the worst part about it, as a kid, you laughed at it. But when you got older and you look at it, you're like, yo, this man was vile. This is not suited for kids. Then you had the one where the boy got covered in peanut butter and he had the dogs lit. I'm like, you look back, I'm like, yo, I don't think I'd be comfortable getting on that set. And that's why you could tell that they had so many people leaving, because how long could you put up with that? That's not a safe environment. And then he's making racist and innuendo jokes towards the black kids, and then he's molesting the white. Listen, I've never called for people to lose their jobs, but Nickelodeon needs to be shut down. And then once Nickelodeon goes down, we can see what those Disney stars went through. It needs to be investigated, because these were people's lives that were ruined, and they can't ever get it back. That's the worst part. They can never get this back. There's nothing they can do that can ever get their minds back. So the best thing we can do is just shut down some of these stuff, because these people, these kids didn't deserve that. They were just trying to live their dream and become actors and actresses, and they had got taken advantage of, which is the worst thing you can do as an adult. Like, why would you take advantage of these kids? And listen, I'm sorry for the victims. I hope that after this, that Nickelodeon does pay a fine, because they're the ones who hire these people. They're the ones. So Dan Schneider, Peck, all of them, everyone in Nickelodeon, everyone who's in charge at that time needs to go down. Everyone who's in charge at that time needs to go down. I don't care. Listen, you gotta protect these kids. Listen, I say fucking kids all the time, but I'm just joking about when I talk about their nuances about how if they're pieces of shit. But I would never put a kid's life or humble innocence in danger. That's not what we do here. But anyway, back to a lighter tone. X-Men came out today. I just watched the first two episodes. I love the designs. I love the animation. It still fucks Cyclops. Not that he's a bad character. I just don't care for the Boy Scout thing. It's never been my thing. Even like, I know everyone's like praising Cyclops and his powers were cool. To me, he's always the same guy. I'm never gonna fuck with him. Like, I've always been a Wolverine fan. Wolverine's still continue to be my guy. I love what they were doing. I love how they show that even when there's peace, there's times of peace, you still have a radical group who's not gonna fuck with it, because why would they want to be friends with mutants? They believe that the mutants are going to take them out at the end of the day, that the moment they drop their guard, they're going to be eradicated. And I love the fact that you have someone like Magneto, who was all in on getting rid of the humans, and he has now joined the X-Men. And to me, that's great. And he's shown that he can change, and that's what you need to do. That's the best part about life, that you can change, and that he did have to show the X-Men that when he became their leader, that you can trust me. I'm not here to do the bad work. And, you know, it was great, but they did have one bad part that I didn't like. I don't like, I know spoilers. Storm has left because she lost her powers. First of all, why you gotta take Storm's powers? All right? The bitch Rogue in the movies didn't want her powers for all three movies. You could have taken her powers. And I know that's a different Rogue. I get it. But I need my girl Storm to have her powers back. If anyone's powers should lose, no. You know what? Rogue's cool. Take Jean Grey's powers, okay? Jean Grey has been literally the most useless Omega mutant I've ever seen in my fucking life. Every time she has a cool display, something fucks her up and she's on the floor like, oh my God, Scott. No. I never fuck with Jean. I get the hype. I get what everything. Phoenix, Dorothy, all that. But she is literally 30 second. She is a TikTok meme. She's cool for 30 seconds and then it goes right the fuck away. I love that they did the Cyclops was trying to be a leader. He doesn't really know how. Cyclops' biggest problem is he's too much of a Boy Scout and he don't know how to talk to people. Wolverine had called him out on this shit. And I know everyone's like, oh, you like Wolverine because he's a hothead like you. No, I like Wolverine because at the end of the day, even though he is a hothead, he's the most logical person in that group. He knew what the fuck was going on because that motherfucker is too old for bullshit. When nigga's almost 200 years old, that motherfucker ain't got time for no bullshit. That man knows what the fuck is going on. That motherfucker senses shit. Like, this is why Wolverine, to me, is the most complete X-Men. He don't even need to be the leader. He's a person who knows what the fuck is going on. And I think that, to me, was great. And I love seeing all their new powers. I love everything they got going on. You have Rogue and Magneto messing around. And, you know who's going to get mad. The Cajun is going to get mad, of course. And, you know, he's going to do his Gambit shit. But This is going to be a really good show, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the fuck they're going to do. How they're going to get Storm's powers back? How they're going to get all this other stuff going on? So I would say watch it. It's a really good watch, and if you haven't gotten into it, I'd say watch the first series before you get into this, so that you can know everything that's going on. But moving on, you know, we had to talk about this. Kendrick Lamar. He said it's no big three. It's only me. Listen, as you guys here know, I am not the biggest Kendrick Lamar fan, but I do love competition. I always say competition breeds character. CBC, competition breeds character. Or I can always say craziness breeds character. Chaos breeds character. CBC, whatever you want to use. I love the fact that this is going to make Drake and J. Cole step up their game. The only thing I don't like about this is that this Kendrick shit has brought up that Drake and Future aren't cool anymore. And when you really go back on it, like I was talking to one of my boys, Brian. Shout out to Brian. He was telling me Drake's been low-key sneak dissing Future for a minute. But Drake is not a very... aggressive person, so he doesn't. Drake's a very passive person, so his things have always been subtle shots. But if you didn't know what the fuck he's talking about you. And Kendrick is an overly aggressive person where he's gonna do high five, I'm bulletproof. He did that cipher back in 2013. He's been dissing that. But my thing with Kendrick is he'll do this and then he'll disappear for another fucking 4 years. You cannot do that as a rapper. You need to be consistent. That's my only thing with Kendrick. Like, yeah, we've been talking about this. I love that. But if J. Cole and Drake drop something, it's going to be another fucking year before Kendrick drops something. And I get it. That's who he is. He's always been that. He has a life. He's trying to do all this. But, bro, you are a rapper. You need to rap. That's the one thing you are on this earth to do, is to rap. Not to throw out shots and then walk away. That's my biggest problem with Kendrick. And I want to see how Drake responds to this. Because now, this dude called you out of your very soul. J. Cole, you too. Y'all need to respond in the fast way. I love that there's really beats and rap again. Not this little coddle shit. Now, that's the one thing I'll give Kendrick. Kendrick is an old school rapper. And Kendrick is going to beef the way old rappers beefed. I'll call you out. I'll call you to your face. And say, yo, fuck you. I don't like you. That's what we need. Not this little sneak this and shit. The sneak this and shit is cool once in a while. When you do rely on it too much and you don't, you lose cool points from me. And I love the fact that Kendrick really didn't give a fuck about nobody. Say what he said. I always say what you have to say. Never run away from how you feel. Tell people how you feel. Listen, even if they don't like it, I'll tell you this. People respect the fact that you were fucking honest with them. Don't sugarcoat shit. People do not like when you sugarcoat shit because you're denying them the access of honestly understanding how you feel. I'm a very straightforward person. And I think Kendrick's very straightforward with his approach to this. And that's what you need to do. You need to be straightforward, people. You need people to understand. Whew. But I'm loving it, you know. As we sign off, you know, Aries season has started. Birthday's coming up. Turning to big 33. It's my spirit wizard year. So, you know, on PGN we don't do the religion thing. It's not for me. I know a lot of people like it, but it is what it is. You know, as I say, always watch One Piece. It's getting great right now. Listen, this, and I love the fact that Oda's taking a 3-week break. Check on yourself, guys. Please always do physicals. Get yourself fucking checked out. Oda, Goda, please don't work yourself into a stress. We lost Akira. We cannot afford to lose you. Like, we need this. We need One Piece to end. We don't want you. I never want you to be in bad health. If it means you have to take 3 weeks off to recuperate and rest, I'd rather you do that than you try to push out 4 chapters for our pleasure. Listen, we're all about health and wealth here. Health is the best way to go about it. So, as per usual, watch One Piece and watch the X-Men series too. And, of course, watch Curb. So, from PGN, we are out. We hope to see you guys and hear you guys' reviews on the Instagram. And, you know, we have a YouTube page so you guys can follow that. Peace out.